It's time for the Charlotte FC podcast.
Block, Tuzbiak's going to get it back. Westwood, rather Vargas, the touch, the finish!
Gone!
The Alba, whipped in, good ball!
Oh!
Christian Kalina, a save to save the season!
Crowd belongs to Charlotte! And Charlotte FC, if the results hold, have clinched its first playoff berth in club history!
Welcome into the show. I'm Nick Pinnell, your host of the Charlotte FC podcast. Today we have Nezzy Miranda with me. Nezzy is the fan experience coordinator, and I'm going to let her introduce herself just like we do on all of our podcasts. Nezzy, please introduce yourself by giving your best elevator pitch and tell us what you do at Charlotte FC.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, my name's Nezzy Miranda. I'm 26, originally from Santa Cruz, California. Moved over to Charlotte about 5 years ago, and now I work as the fan experience coordinator for Charlotte FC. My role really touches everything to do with fans at the club. So it's evolved over the past 2 years, but I touched everything from supporter groups to planning events to our match day entertainment and helping out with that and everything in between.
Awesome. So how'd you come about getting this position, and what do you think made you kind of shine out there for this? Because I know this position was actually like posted almost like mid-season. Like Sean was doing stuff. He's like, I need extra help. So can you tell me about how that came about?
Yeah, at the time this role was posted, I was actually working in motorsports. So I was on the agency side, which is completely different than being on the team side and working for just one sport. But I was looking to make the change and really start my career with a team that was all unified towards one goal. So in motorsports, you're going race to race. Your focus is kind of all over. And this opportunity really drew me in because Charlotte FC was brand new and we were working towards the same goal of just kicking off and making the fan base just the best in the MLS. And so Sean was looking for someone to support on the supporter side. And I brought kind of a different experience than what would normally be hired for a supporter liaison officer at the league. My background was in wedding planning. So I was used to working with brides and mother of brides. So it was a fun transition into learning all about supporters and supporter culture for the MLS.
But your degree, you have a degree from Johnson & Wales, right, in sport kind of administration. So you've studied in, you know, probably on the event management side. I was a sport administration major from University of South Carolina, and event management and that kind of stuff was a big part of what we learned about. Is that something you did in college? And did you like kind of translate to what this was in both of those situations?
Yeah, originally, so my entire degree is sports, entertainment, and event management. I went to focus on event management, and I thought I wanted to become a wedding planner. And then my junior year of college, I got an internship with PGA, just really randomly because I was in the right place at the right time and fell in love with sports. The downside of weddings was I felt like I couldn't reach quite enough people. You know, you plan an event, and there's a couple hundred people who show up to a wedding. But when I went to work for the PGA, there's thousands and thousands of people that we reached. And so that really switched things for me in college. And I switched my major to focus on sports management and have just loved it ever since.
And then what made you come all the way here? Because you said you grew up and lived in Santa Cruz, California. What made you come to Charlotte? Was it the school or just something, a change?
Yeah, it was the school. I finished up my associate's degree and was looking to get my bachelor's and wanted to move somewhere completely different. I figured I could do anything for 2 years. So what is more different from California than North Carolina?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, well, let's get into what you're actually doing as the fan experience coordinator, because I know you said your job, you know, just like anybody who has something in an organization just starts, it kind of molds and shapes, and you probably had some say or some agency in what needs to be done, which is probably pretty empowering. So can you talk about maybe what you do on a daily basis?
Yeah, definitely. Last off season when we were getting into season three, the club really spends that time looking at, okay, how can we improve things for our fans? And one of the big things that we realized is we wanted to put more emphasis onto benefits for season ticket members and really unique experiences through events. And so that led to that change in my roles towards my focus being event planning as my primary focus. And so that's been wonderful. A lot of what I do now is day-to-day for our tent pole and season ticket member events. So think kit launch, think Fiesta Por La, our Hispanic Heritage block party, watch parties with some of our wonderful partners. All of those are my day-to-day in planning and executing those events.
So since you are kind of studying or a work in action in event management, what is kind of your style for doing that? Because, you know, some people have lists, some people have, you know, almost like their little playbook of these are the things I have to have. These are the extra things. Do you have other people you brainstorm about? Because events, there's so much you have to think about.
Definitely. I think it's a really interesting mix of both. The way my brain works is I love structure and I love things that are organized and make sense. And so I have a lot of processes that keep things in line, but I also enjoy, but one of the biggest things I love about event planning is that brainstorm session. So getting everybody in the room, hearing voices that wouldn't normally have a platform in that space and just seeing who has creative ideas, how can we execute them? I like to say that oftentimes other people are the dreamers and I'm more the doer. I love to take people's ideas and turn them into reality and find new creative ways to do cool things for the club that people haven't done before.
That's nice. I mean, we need people in all of those roles because it kind of, you know, just knowing the right people. So who are the big dreamers that you rely on and who are the people that you count on to do stuff with you?
Yeah, you know, funny enough, it's really everyone. We have an open floor plan at Charlotte FC and really what that means is that everybody has a voice and everybody has a say. We've gotten some of our best marketing initiatives from ticket sales interns and from people on the partnership team. So it is a big group effort, but I'm lucky to be surrounded by a wonderful support system in my marketing team that we bounce ideas off each other all the time.
That's cool. So if that's what you're doing daily is for kind of planning these big roles, like once they're done or, you know, maybe not executed, but like all the planning is done, you're just waiting a lot. So what are you doing in the meantime? Because in the past I've seen you at lots of supporters things. And I didn't know if you still have that role because it feels like all the supporters know you. You know, you walk by just on the grass on the pitch, and you know, everybody's like, they like it's like you have your own little fan club.
I love my supporters so much. I love the supporters here. We're so lucky to have the family that we do here. And honestly, that's been the biggest surprise for me in coming to Rick for Soccer. I don't have a lot of experience in soccer prior to this. I didn't grow up a soccer fan. I didn't grow up watching soccer. And so learning about supporters and finding that fan base that truly is a family, getting to know every single one of them over the past 2 years has been the most rewarding part. But going back to your question, you know, in between events, it can be a waiting time, but there's never a shortage of things to do when you work for a pro sports team. So if I'm not fully, if my time's not fully taken up with planning events, definitely supporting Sean still with all things supporters and bringing their ideas to life on match days. Sometimes we'll travel with supporters. We've had one of the biggest traveling supporter presence in the MLS over our past few years, which has been fantastic. So
that's cool. So do you do anything specifically with Crown Legacy? And especially like they had that big opening this Sunday.
Definitely. Crown Legacy has been fantastic. It's given me an opportunity to try new things that wouldn't necessarily fall into my scope of work with first team. So for Crown Legacy right now, I handle giveaways, theme nights, supporters, and any kind of block parties or fun activations that we want to do there as well. So this Sunday, we also have Pups at the Pitch coming up. So that's an example of one So I'd work with our ticketing team and bring some activations to life, get some pups out there and figure out how to make it the best we can.
So when you're in your role, you're running it, like, did someone else, well, obviously we've had the idea before, so it's already been happening, but like, do you just look and be like, okay, these are the things that need to happen that day. This is at this entrance, we need to have this. This is the path they have to flow. Like, are you looking at every single detail and kind of turning it over and saying, who's doing that? Who's there? Who do we assign? Is that part of what you do?
Absolutely. I think event planning in general, you have to be very holistic, detail oriented, get down to the nitty gritty, especially in the, I would say, the month leading up to the event, thinking about everything. And similar to supporters in a way, I found that a lot of times with these grand ideas, it takes some detail in executing of, okay, who's actually going to order this new drum? Who's actually going to turn in this submission to see if we can get this new flag or banner, whatever it is. So definitely some detail-oriented needs there.
All right. Can you give me, let's give away for the Columbus match, plus it's the women and girls in sport weekend, and we have the fanny pack giveaway. How are you involved in that?
Yeah, with my transition onto the marketing team this year, it has changed a little bit. So this is honestly the first match that I'm going to be helping them out with the fanny pack giveaway. So we'll see how it goes this weekend. But my role is going to look like setting up some of the fun activations and photo ops that we're going to have out on the concourse. I've been helping Sean with getting some of our female capos out there, make sure that they have a women and girls in sports t-shirt to wear, and then supporting the team however I can with those giveaways.
So you have to do, are you doing the ordering? Are you doing the kind of setup, or is that kind of just a team effort?
Yeah, so there's actually someone on my team who handles the ordering of the promo giveaways specifically. And they work closely with our partnership team because a lot of those are, you know, gifted by sponsors. So that's not necessarily mine. I'm more on execution if they need help of handing them out match day.
Right. And how that's going to be perceived by the fans, you know.
Correct.
Oh, they only had it in this one section. I missed out, you know, and then you have upset fans or something like that.
Right. Right.
So what is, thinking about your, you've been here almost 3 years now, what is your favorite part of this job? The things that you could do like every day. You're like, this is just awesome.
Yeah, I would have to say my favorite part of this role and what we talked about earlier that surprised me so much was just so much of a family and community that I found here, not just from the supporters, which have been a huge one, but from staff and everyone here. I think I love those moments when we're all together, moments when we're in the supporter section or at an away game, and you just realize the magnitude that Charlotte FC supporters have and how we all play a part of that. It's just been wonderful. I think back to Atlanta away trip last year when we brought over 1,000 fans and bussed over 300 supporters with the help of Ally, and we were taking an escalator up to the nosebleeds that they had us sit in. And mm-hmm. You just see close to 400 supporters decked out in Charlotte FC gear, all chanting the same thing and just taking over a concourse that's not even our own home. It's moments like that where you stop and you realize, like, whoa, we are part of something really special. And I am so blessed to be able to be right in the middle of it all.
That was an incredible game. It's one I enjoyed a lot. The supporters were awesome. On the flip side, what's really been the most challenge? The thing that's been like, gosh, I really got to get a hold of this because this is really, you know, taking a lot out of me to make sure this happens or to do this.
Yeah, I think taking a lot out of me hits it right on the head. Working in pro sports and soccer specifically, when you have a very, very short off season and we are just going, executing throughout the whole season. It can be really challenging to find work-life balance. You know, I'm still a 20s young girl who loves to hang out and have a life outside of work as well. I have a one-year-old puppy that I love to share my life with. So it can be hard to find the balance sometimes between work that I love and life that I love.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's just part of adulting, right? You got to figure out what part of everything. What kind of dog is it?
She's a Cavapoo.
Oh, cool.
Okay. She's like a 7-pound little angel.
Okay. How do you know you're successful in what you're doing?
I think the perfect example of success, or when I felt most successful in my role, last year, Fiesta por la Cultura, which was our big block party out on Mint Street before our Hispanic Heritage match, I planned a huge block party with the hope that people would feel seen and people would feel welcomed. And we were out there and I was enjoying, we were out at the festival and I was enjoying a snack with some of my friends, and one of them walked up to me and just said, "This is the most I felt like home since I moved to North Carolina." And it was that moment where realizing that I was able to, with the help of course everyone here, create a place where people felt seen and they felt authentically themselves, is the most rewarding, hands down.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of shared experiences, and I think that's what sports brings. You know, some people would also say, you know, going to church brings that kind of thing together, or, you know, just doing anything where you have this group, collective people that might not even know each other, but they're sharing that thing. And, you know, it's something they can either talk about with their close-knit people or somebody they don't even know. And they're like, oh, we had this together. It's that bond. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think that's what really formed me. If I look back now at wanting to get into, you know, my parents separated when I was young, but growing up, the one thing consistent between mom and dad's house was Golden State Warriors basketball, right? Oh, it was always on the TV and every game was always being watched. So having that consistency and the unity that sports brought into my life from such a young age, it's funny to look back and see, oh, there was footprints that led to here, to where I am now.
Right. And are you bilingual? Because I can hear that when you pronounce everything in Spanish. Do you speak Spanish pretty well?
So my dad actually is first generation in the U.S. from Ecuador, but I am not bilingual, sadly. Working on it, but I'm not quite there.
Okay. What have you learned in this kind of short time of being out in the world, working in different places, from being wedding planner to working in motorsports, PGA and those things? What have you kind of learned about your own learning, like how you work, how you manage your day, you know, how you can be the best version of yourself? What are the little things that you've like, oh, I figured this out?
Yeah, I've learned a lot, as you would in your first few years straight out of college. I've learned that I really thrive working with people that are willing to give me feedback, allow me to bounce ideas off. I love to be collaborative. I'd always rather work in a team than take something on by myself. And I do like somewhat of consistency and some organization that comes with it as well. But really just being able to collaborate makes the biggest difference for me.
Do you in your head when you're basically, do you take your work home? For example, you're playing with your dog and are you thinking about, oh, are these ready? Do I have this ready? Does that kind of stuff linger on, or do you kind of shut it off?
Absolutely. I'm always working, or at least it stays in my head. I think when you spend so much time with the people in the office that we do, they become your best friends. And so when we say going home, a lot of times we're hanging out with people that we work with, and you can't help but just talk about like, oh, did you see that this happened? Did you see this on Tuesdays? Did you hear there might be this? Oh, I have to do this for work, right? So you always bring it home with you.
Yeah. Now, you said you grew up in Santa Cruz, and you weren't necessarily a big soccer fan. Golden State was always on, but you did other things. I heard you were a surfer. Is that right?
My city is known as a big surf city. I did surf a little bit growing up.
Okay. And then you also, some of the other things, did you play volleyball? Is that what I hear?
Yeah, I did.
Were you just in high school kind of, was it a big thing, or was it just like, hey, I'm just going to do this because this is fun and active?
Yeah, volleyball really helped me get out of my shell. I was really introverted going into middle school, and then joined the volleyball team and made all my best friends. So volleyball was just for fun throughout high school, but it did a lot for me as well. And then college, I actually got a degree in dance. So continue. Oh, yeah, I know. Fun fact. A lot of people don't know that about me.
What kind of dance? Was it more like ballet, or more of the other side of like jazz and those kind of things?
Yeah, I make the joke that I've been dancing since the womb. My mom's a dancer, and she used to parade in San Francisco when she was pregnant with me. And I grew up taking Mommy and Me ballet classes, Mommy and Me hip hop classes. I've always been more interested in street jazz, in hip hop, and those types of dances. But I did take up, of course, ballet and jazz once I got into college and had to take things a little bit more seriously.
Wow. Okay, cool. And then also, you enjoy cooking. You have your friends over. What are you cooking for them?
Oh, that's a hard one. I do. I love to cook. I actually just make stuffed shells for the first time the other night. I know that's
homemade? Did you actually make the dough and then fold it and all that?
Okay, I didn't make the dough, but maybe.
Okay, sorry.
I made the dough when I make pies, if that counts.
That counts. Stuffed shells, anything that just regular cheese and all that good stuff?
I try to be dairy-free for the most part. So when it comes to ice cream, we do dairy-free, but those stuffed shells were absolutely not dairy-free, but they were delicious.
Do you have or have you had mentor or someone that you like go to ask questions? I'm sure there's lots of people there in different angles, but is there like someone that you've kind of been watching from afar, or someone that you've relied on kind of closely to be like, hey, what do you think I should do in this situation?
Absolutely. Throughout the years, I've had different mentors, one specifically in high school, one in college. And now at Charlotte FC, Sean McIntosh has been a huge mentor for me. He comes with just a wealth of knowledge from working in sports for so long, but also this grace and this leadership that allows me to feel comfortable messing up and feel comfortable asking questions. He's just been fantastic in not only building me up as a Charlotte FC employee, but for my personal development as a human. A lot of that I attribute to him.
That's great. All right, so let's look in the future. We know you love your job. We know you'd want to stay and do things, but we also know that people don't like always just staying in their same position. They want to grow, like you said, professionally. 10 years down the line, what do you want to be able to do?
I think the dream for me has always been to work for the WSL. It's the World Surf League. Travel the world and plan events or pop-ups for surfing, which is in a funny way similar to soccer, still growing in the US, right? There's an opportunity to give a platform to a sport that I love so much and I grew up loving so much that I think is underrated. When people give it a chance, they'd realize how soon.
And so you said you surfed a little bit and you're, you know, of course, in that kind of surfing area, but it sounds like you did a little more than just surfing a little. Like you were a big part of, or you either watched or kind of did some in that growing up, correct?
I would say that surf culture really raised me. It's really unique to where I grew up. And so it's special to me. Even if you don't necessarily surf yourself, that doesn't mean you're not out in the water all the time, or learning from people, or seeing, you know, watching surf comps growing up and that kind of thing. So
were you that close to the water that you could just like get there in a second as a young person and just be able to be like, I can hang out here all day kind of thing?
Definitely. Yeah. I think I was in seventh or eighth grade, and I had some friends down the road, and we used to take our bikes and bike down to the beach, and we would fill up water buckets and pour them over the edge and dump them on sunbathers sitting down. We were just the worst. But those like classic beach kid stories was my reality growing up.
Yeah, we need to bring some water to Charlotte. You need to have like a surf night or something in the summer to kind of kick things off. Maybe we have a match where people wear, you know, something different.
I'm with you. That sounds fun.
All right. Next one. This might be hard too. I don't know. What is your walk-up music? Music that you hear and maybe we would hear as you enter and leave the room. Like what's your walk-up music?
Oh, my walk-up music. This might surprise some people too, but there's a song called Baby Girl by Disco Lines. It's like random EDM, and I just love it. That would definitely be my walk-up music.
All right. We'll put that into this podcast so that they can hear when you enter in. They'll be like, what's that music about? And then when you leave, they'll be like, wait, it's playing again. So now it's time for Stoppage Time, our kind of quick end of the show.
It's stoppage time.
Do you have a must-do habit or personal ritual?
I really don't. As funny as it sounds, thinking of all we've talked about, of how organized and structured I am, I don't know if I necessarily have something I do every day besides eat breakfast and brush my teeth.
And it's not the same breakfast. It's not the same not type of really. Thing. You don't do the same pattern with your dog now. Like, oh, I got to do this and...
Actually, I will change that. I cannot lie to the people. Every single morning, and I'm looking at Corelli because she knows, every single morning when I show up to work, I go to the coffee machine. And the first thing I do is get myself a cup of coffee, and I steal whoever's dairy-free creamer is in the fridge. Thank you to whoever is buying that. And I get myself a cup of coffee, and I sit down at my desk.
Okay, cool. Favorite unplugged activity now? I'm sure you maybe had a different one in California.
Yeah, in California, it definitely used to be just laying out at the beach or even dancing. Now I'd say just taking my dog on a walk or going on a run and enjoying some time. We're so lucky with the weather we have here when it gets warm. So looking forward to the fun and being able to do that.
Speaking of dance, do you dance anymore? Because I know that's kind of hard. Like if you do something your whole life and you do something, then all of a sudden it's just not there. It's like you got to either fill it with something or you have this longing like, man, I should go and just do dancing somewhere, like take a class or go be with someone.
Yeah, I mean, I miss it every day. I do. It's one of my things this year that I really want to get back into and take a couple classes. But I have been able to do volleyball. So I've been playing some pickup volleyball here and then, and that scratches some kind of itch, which is nice. Oh,
good. All right. You're watching a match. Do you have a go-to snack?
Oh, my gosh. That's a hard one. Is it an away match or a home match?
It doesn't, no, you pick.
Okay.
Is it different when you're home because you're making stuff?
Oh, no. I'm just saying in the stadium, it's a Bojangles every time. But at home, it's something more, maybe goldfish or some ice cream.
Okay. What design impresses you more, interior or exterior?
Interior design, for sure. I think the grounds team is going to hate me for saying that because they're huge on everything landscaping, but interior design, I think, is much more.
Well, that goes along also with your event management, right? You're interiorly making things flow so it's nice. So it's not like you can't just step back. Like there's little intricate stuff that's happening that has to happen. So usually people that choose interior are also those people that like, I really like to make sure those things are set. Do you find starting a project or finishing one more gratifying?
I think when it comes to events, the finished product is so gratifying. It's sitting back and taking in the event and realizing that the months and months of hard work has all come to fruition and you get to see the product in front of you and how much enjoyment that brings to everyone else. That has to be the best part.
Nice. And what recharges you?
I would say, I think what recharges me is Sunday naps with my dog when it's warm outside, spending time with friends. We're big board game friends, play a lot of board games.
So. All right. You opened up the, what board games do you play?
Have you heard of Munchkin Deluxe?
No.
Oh, it's what my favorite it? Right now. It's so random, but it's similar to Catan or if you've heard of that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I love Catan. We played a ton during the pandemic. Now we play Scrabble all the time. I have a son that wants to play that constantly. Okay. Last question. If you were a current player on Charlotte FC, what player would you most be like? Kind of like your demeanor and stuff. Doesn't have to be the position, but like, who's the person out there that's like, hey, they're kind of similar to me?
I'd like to say maybe George Marks. I've heard that he is very, what is the word?
He's a student of the game. I'll tell you that. Like he's first one out, last one to leave. He's always wanting to know more information. That's what I know about him. And he really works hard. And
right. Know. He's very structured. I've heard that he's extremely friendly and gets along with anybody he meets. And like you said, he loves to learn. He loves to be out there. He loves what he gets to do. So I'd say him.
Great. Well, thanks, Nezzy, for being on.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Nick.
Thanks for listening to Charlotte FC Podcast. I'm Nick Finelli, your host. Please follow us on X and Instagram at CLTFC Podcast. We're also at CLTFCpodcast.com or CharlotteFCpodcast.com if you want to go to our website, and we'll be posting more stuff on YouTube, so if you want to get playlists there too.
We also would love you to 5-star us on your favorite podcast platform. Enjoy your week.